they're just dressed up. And they went through the whole smear, and it's pretty, quite impressive.
Cool.
Senate Agriculture and Veterans Budget Division will come to order. We're going to start right on time. I apologize for being 10 minutes late myself, but as members come in, when they get a quorum, I'll announce that. So, Senator Solon, why don't you present your bill, and we'll discuss it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to thank the committee and Senator Vickerman for allowing me the opportunity to present this bill. Every day, more than 1,800 World War II veterans pass away nationwide. In 2005, the Duluth Honor Guard provided support to nearly 194 funerals. As a tribute to a soldier's honorable service to our country, the Duluth Combined Honor Guard provides a 7-man rifle squad, a bugler, a commander, a flag bearer, and men to fold and present the flag to the deceased veteran's family. Every funeral consists of 10 to 11 Honor Guard members, totaling approximately 30 to 33 hours per funeral. Each year, the Honor Guard in Duluth travels thousands of miles and spends hundreds of hours honoring their fellow veterans. The Duluth Combined Honor Guard's primary function is to provide professional and memorable services to the families of the deceased. But they do much more. They post colors for any organization or business that requests it. They go into our local schools as combat veterans and talk about the different wars in which they served. The Honor Guard cherishes the opportunity to present a flag in memory of a veteran that served our country, and it means so much to the families of the deceased. And I can speak of this as they were present at my own husband's funeral. This legislation would alleviate financial stress on the Honor Guard. It would reimburse the local unit $50 for each funeral served. These funds would cover the expenses of the organization, including the cost of the uniforms, guns, shells, flags, and other equipment needed during the services. And with me today is John Marshall, commander of the Duluth Honor Guard, and Bob Dunweber, who is a bugler with the Duluth Honor Guard. They will testify to why this legislation is needed, and we will then stand for questions from committee members. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record.
Thank you, honorable committee members, for hearing this piece of legislation. My name is John Marshall. I'm the commander of the Duluth Combined Honor Guard. And as Senator Solon said, basically our primary function is to provide military funeral honors for all veterans and their families. Last year we did 201. We did 194 the year before, 176 the two prior years. We serve over 150,000 people in our local surrounding areas. We also do all of the city of Superior, Wisconsin, because there are not enough active honor guards in our area. So we serve a great number of people. We have an obligation to our veterans and the families of the veterans in Minnesota to be able to continue to provide these services. Senator Solon mentioned a few of the things that we do, but we also provide rituals when families can't find ministers to do last rites for these veterans and for the family members more so. I had a number of things that I wanted to say, and I don't want to take a whole lot of your time. We do incur a lot of costs, and we've, since 1967, the VFW has continued to do this and, you know, providing our time, donating our time and our monies, and we'll continue to do this. Hopefully that won't be the case. But all nonprofits need money to continue what we do. This would give us more leeway to do more in the communities than what we are doing right now. Again, our primary function is to provide military funeral honors. The federal government in 1999 passed a law that all veterans would receive military funeral honors. They only provide a two-man detail to fold and present the flag. It's no rifle salute. That's no taps. You've got 10, 11, 12 men donating their time. This would just help support our cause. And again, I'm not going to waste a lot of your time. I know you've got other issues at hand, but I feel this is a very important piece of legislation, that, and we owe this to our veterans and their families.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, last year I introduced the bill, or maybe it was the year before, and then I pulled it when I thought that there were federal dollars that were available to pay for this ritual and for the services, but it turns out that those dollars were not sufficient, and that these men invest a lot from their own pockets in order to be able to provide these services for the deceased members' families.
Senator Skoglund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Marshall, an honorable job it is. What kind of training do you go through, sir?
We train all the individuals. Most of them are military people that have served. But we have since then got Sons of American Legion. It's an organization, the American Legion. The organization was set up to provide or continue on all the services of the American Legion. Of course, World War I was supposed to be the war to end all wars. Of course, that's not how history played out. And so we've had to go to the Sons of American Legion because we need more people to provide services. So we go through the military training. It's military doctrine. The word's just not coming to me right now. You'll have to excuse me. But we train every individual on all the commands. We do parades. So everything is military-oriented. So,
do you pay for, is there a fee for that training?
Oh, absolutely.
Or the uniforms and the...
Well, we incur the cost for uniforms and buying of flags and all these different things, you know, and we've donated for years all our mileage. We just had a van donated, and, you know, we've got insurance and we've got gas and fuel and maintenance and all that other stuff that goes along with a vehicle, which was an outstanding donation. But these men donate so much of their time and their monies, and like I said, we'll continue to do this. But we do have costs that we incur, and we're just looking for any support that we can. And I'd like to just go on a little bit more about the federal government, the federal stipend, which was cut in half. The federal government's only allotted 12% of money for these stipends. They can't provide the two-man National Guard members that are supposed to be present during these funerals. So they're not upholding their end of the bargain. We've got a war going on. Well, of course, everybody's quite aware of that, and that's quite spendy. And so they just don't have the resources and monies to support us. So we're looking to the state to assist us.
Thank you.
Senator?
You want to say anything?
Good afternoon, Senators. Good afternoon. My name is Robert Dunriver. I'm the bugler for Combined Honor Guard. I'm at most of the funerals that are attended throughout the Duluth area as well as Superior. And as John said, the money comes hard. Every time I make a trip over to a cemetery, I pay for it out of my own pocket as well as everybody else until we got the van. Now that we got the van, as you know, by paying your own car insurance, everything is costly. Especially to us, it's very costly. And a lot of that stuff with the van has been donated, but our time is not donated. We don't get reimbursed for our time spent at these funerals. And that's another reason that we're here looking for you to consider these stipends at $50 a funeral. As a rule, there's about 10 people that turn out for each funeral if we can get them. At certain times, during a month even, we got two funerals at the same time. That means two squads have to go out. We only got one van, so the other team has to send their own cars out there to these funeral sites, cemetery sites, excuse me. And this is just another reason for you to consider what we're asking for at $50 a funeral here. There are times, like I say, in just one day period where we might have two funerals at the same time. And when the feds cut our stipends at 12%, that cuts into everything. The uniforms that we have to purchase, the gas that we have to buy to get to these different cemeteries, and it just goes on and on and on. To me, it doesn't seem like there's enough money through the federal system to support us. And they're not honoring the veterans by doing something like this. If they got this kind of money to spend over in Iraq that they can throw away and lose most of it over there, they should be able to support their veterans and people that are coming home that need our services. A lot of people are being killed over there. So I'm open to any of your discussions if you have any.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pretner Solon, is this part of what the governor was talking about in his veterans bill, or is this something else?
Mr. Chair, Senator Skogan, I don't know if this was in the governor's bill. I'm not aware that it was. This is a request that came to me a couple years ago from from the Duluth
Combined Honor Guard. Yes, ma'am.
And at that time, the day that we were going to have a hearing on it, I had received notice that there were federal funds to cover this. It turns out that they do not cover it. And so I'm renewing my effort this year to see if we can help them a bit.
Thank you.
I'm getting a couple head nods. It's not in the governor's.
It's not? Thank you.
I'm sorry, Senator, I didn't hear you.
I said I'm getting a nod from higher-up departments that it's not in the governor's bill.
Bill, yes.
Senator Engel, Bretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator, for bringing this to the forefront. I have a little bit of a personal experience with the Honor Guard, and I probably the people from my department were actually trained by you, and if you were, thank you very much. But most recently, before retiring as sheriff, we put together our own Honor Guard, and they trained with the military at Fort Ripley. And they're very impressive unit. I was fortunate enough not to have to sponsor one of them before I was able to retire. Sponsoring it by being killed in the line of duty. However, our servicemen are obviously giving the ultimate, and I agree that we owe an awful lot to those and their families. This is a very small stipend that we can do. I'm in full support of it, so thank you very much for bringing this to this committee.
Thanks, Alan.
Mr. Chair, Commander Marshall wanted you to know that this $50 stipend doesn't go to any of the individual members. It goes into their general fund to support their activities.
And strictly our general fund. We'll do this regardless. Again, we hope that's not the case. We'll continue to do this service, but it would be nice if you could support us. Thank you.
Senator Scully.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Pretner-Solon. This is a very good piece of legislation you have. It seems like a very modest contribution that the state can make to the services that these individuals are providing. I do have a question for Mr. Mueller, I think, or maybe Senator Solon, you would know this. There's two fiscal notes in here. One is for $275,000 and one is for $30,000.
What Senator Solon, can you hear if that drum?
I'm having a hard time with the drumming.
Can you speak up a little louder? The drums are really banging up here in my ears anyway. Senator Scoy, can you ask her maybe a little
bit
louder?
Sure. Senator Solon, I don't know if you know this or if I should ask fiscal staff, but there's two fiscal notes in here, and I'm wondering what the fiscal cost for this is statewide. I'm having a little question about what it is.
Mr. Chairman, the way the fiscal note works, the first page on top is sort of the total. That would be there's two agencies involved here, Military Affairs and Veteran Affairs. And then on subsequent pages, it breaks that out, how much is for Veteran Affairs and how much is for Military Affairs. So there's 30 for Military Affairs and 245, at least the fiscal aid costs, for Veterans Affairs, so for a total of 275 then altogether. And then that grows by 1,000 each year out based on Military Affairs' assumption that their costs would grow by 1,000 each year.
Thank you.
MC.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just reading in the first part of this bill on line 1.7, it talks about it covers persons who honorably served 6 or more years. And I'm sorry I wasn't here for the first part of your presentation when you probably answered this question. But is that carefully crafted? I served for 4 years and 2 years inactive.
We honor all veterans, no matter. A veteran is someone who serves honorably for 6 months or longer. 6 months is the timeline to be considered a veteran. We honor all veterans, no matter what period, as long as they're honorably discharged from the military, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, all eras. It's not strictly in some of the writing of the bill, I understood to be National Guardsmen and for 6 years also, and that's not the case. Generally, active duty military takes care of those. We have been present at those. So, no, as to your question, no, you don't have to be in 6 years. As long as you're honorably discharged and a veteran and have a DD 214, that can verify that.
Just to follow up on that, Mr. Chairman. But will you be reimbursed for those that, under this law, it looks as though it's 6 years or more, or is an active duty person, under this law, would you be eligible for reimbursement should that be the case? That's my question, I guess.
Mr. Chair, I think that Senator Gimsey raises a pertinent issue, and I don't know if 6 years is the definition of a veteran. 6 years service is a definition, or why the 6 years is written into this. But it does seem to limit reimbursement to a veteran who has been in 6 years or is in active duty. And actually, as the commander was saying, those in active duty, do you serve for those two, or the military do that?
Most of the active military generally takes care of the soldiers that are dying now that are active military, but we have been present and if ever requested. We've been requested to go to Ohio, and our group was willing to go. So we'll serve and honor veterans no matter where they are. We'll incur all the costs. With that point, I guess there's, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory where I'm at and where these men are at, very highly dedicated and committed men. And
so, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if we need an amendment to that then.
Senator, would you help us?
Would you like a change?
What?
I think we should.
Senator Solon, do you know exactly? It's hard for us to hear up on this end, probably on that end. Council wants to know what do we need to put in here?
Mr. Chairman, I think I can answer. Can you hear me? Okay. Mm-hmm. I think we would like to go to line 1.7 and change years to months. Is that correct, Senator?
Well, I think, Mr. Chair, I probably needs to say anybody who has been honorably discharged from the service.
Would that make it more?
A veteran is anyone that served 6 months or longer and honorably discharged. That could be a medical discharge. I was a career soldier wounded in the first Gulf War, part of a government study. So anyone serving 6 months or longer and honorably discharged would be considered veteran status.
Senator Lurie?
We already have the definition of a veteran in statute someplace else. It might be better to just reference the definition of a veteran in statute rather than trying to redo it. And each time this comes up, and I can't remember that exact reference right now, but yeah. Might be a cleaner way to approach it.
Senator Erickson-Rolfe, do you have a question on it?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Prentner-Solon. Actually, I was going to make the same comment that Senator Lurie made. I just finished doing my first veterans bill and found out that there's lots of definitions of the word veteran, whether you're talking about active duty reserve, whether you're talking about, so it's very complicated, and I would just agree with Senator Lurie that we just need to refer back to the definition of veteran per statute, because it's very complicated.
Yep. Mr. Chairman and Senator Lurie, as you mentioned, there is a definition, 197.447 is a definition of veteran. And it basically says that the word veteran means a citizen or resident who's been separated under honorable conditions from any branch and having served on active duty for 181 consecutive days or by reason of disability incurred while serving, who has met the minimum active duty requirements. So there is a definition of veteran. The only question I'd have is this still tied to the National Guard, right? So what you'd want to say is upon the death of any veteran who served in the Minnesota National Guard, the Adjutant General shall, maybe that might be the best way to do it.
Mr. Chairman, could you have counsel repeat that?
Should it be?
Please.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, what I was going to suggest, if you want to use that definition, would be upon the death of any veteran who has served in the Minnesota National Guard.
Mr. Chair, they don't just go to National Guard funerals.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Prentner-Solon, the way the bill is right now, it's tied into active service in the Minnesota National Guard.
No.
No.
Shouldn't be that way.
Or is.
Oh, that's part of the OR. Okay, well, it's not clear the way it was written, whether the National Guard applies to both or only to one. So you want this for every veteran, whether they're in the National Guard or not?
I do.
Yes.
On the death of Biddy.
Then, Mr. Chairman, what I would say is on line 1.7, delete everything after any. On line 1.8, delete everything before the comma and insert veteran. And if you want, the definition says it's wherever it applies in Minnesota statutes, but if you want to point people to it, it might be better to say veteran as defined in section 197.447 to make sure people know where to look for that definition.
I would move that amendment for Senator Pretner's.
But then are we missing the National Guard? Because we do want to include the National.
No, sir.
They're included.
They're included. Veteran.
No, they're honorably discharged. Include every branch.
Any branch that serves over 180 days, 181, I believe you said, yep. Senator, is considered
branch.
A veteran. Any branch. Yes, sir.
Okay. Good. On the Senator Scoy's amendment, if yes. everybody understand it, counsel, repeat it one more time so we're
sure. That's probably a good idea. Mr. Chairman, it would be on line 1.7, delete everything after the any, and on line 1.8, delete everything before the comma, and insert veteran, comma, as defined in section 197.447.
Okay, Senator. Okay, on the Scoy motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So adopted. No.
I make, Mr. Chair.
Senator Engelbretson.
I would like to move to approve Senate File 487.
The motion would be, Senator Engelbretson, that move Senate File 487 as amended and be laid on the table for possible inclusion in our.
That's correct.
Major bill. Everybody understand that? Do you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, would this be required to go to the Finance Committee because of the fiscal impact on it?
It is.
I'm concerned that it might have to.
We're acting as a division.
Yeah. Senator. This is the Finance Committee.
We are Finance.
We have the budget in this
budget
committee.
Division.
We're doing both.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gimsey, if I could just explain, if you see on the top of the bill, this was referred to finance, because we're a dual committee here. This was referred to us as the Division of Finance. So anything that would come out of here in this bill would have to go to the Finance Committee. But what Senator Vickerman is talking about is because of the need for the general fund appropriations, that this would be laid over for possible inclusion in the finance bill that will be coming out of here within a few weeks.
I see. Thank you for the clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So adopted. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Honorable committee members, thank you very much.
Next bill is Senate File 821.
Jeez, can you hear anything?
Huh?
What did I read?
Are they
going to
come after you?
No.
Oh,
reason
that I
know. The transportation committee is right down below.
Oh, how's that going on?
Just like a whoa.
Increase the cost.
If they're both jumping on your head, then there.
Isn't that something?
Gee.
Salzman, welcome to the committee, and let's hear about Senate File 821.
And I want to thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for giving me this opportunity to present Senate File 821 to you. I'm here to request an appropriation to support improvements to the the Disabled Veterans Rest Camp, which is located in northern Washington County. This bill is about veterans, but it's also about families. I know you have heard many statistics about what is happening to our troops as they return from war, but since 9/11, there have been 12 to 15,000 Minnesotans who have been called to serve our country. There are 45 Minnesotans who have been killed, approximately 135 are severely injured, and over 1,300 will have physical or psychological disabilities for the remainder of their life. It's important to note that when soldiers are called to active duty, that they ultimately impact the lives of perhaps as many as 60 or more people, as family, employers, coworkers, places of worship are taken into account. In light of this, it's clear that family life is of great concern to veterans returning from war. 45% of men and women serving in the 1st Brigade of Minnesota's National Guard are married, and many of those have children. As our soldiers return, there is a growing awareness of the need to support families as they are reunited after extended deployments. Reintegration efforts are not easy after combat, and resources are needed that will support efforts to unite families through family retreats and counseling and ongoing support. I read about last fall about efforts being done by Chaplain Morris to do these retreats with families. And the one thing that struck me, I think, the article that I heard about was that they were going to a hotel or conference center. And I've been a hockey mom, and I've spent weekends in hotels. And I know it's not a peaceful and healing sort of place to go. And I started thinking about the fact I'm on a camp board in Ely for the YMCA. And what happens in terms of finding a greater sense of peace when you are in a natural setting? And so when I had the opportunity to talk with Washington County, and we were talking about the Veterans Rest Camp and their efforts to do improvements to be able to welcome back our veterans, it seemed to me there might be an opportunity that we might be able to help them with their efforts to speed up their improvements. The Veterans Rest Camp originally was developed to serve World War I and World War II veterans. But currently they are trying to bring the camp up to code in that we will have veterans who are disabled, and at this point facilities are not accessible. So I'm very honored today to have some very special people who are involved with the Veterans Camp here to talk about it, but to also to appeal to you to consider if you might consider an appropriation to help them develop a facility that can be used for family retreats and a place for veterans to go where they feel welcome, they are trusted, and they are among friends. At this time, I would like to introduce Mr. Don Driggins, who is with the Veterans Camp Board.
Mr. Committee, state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Don Driggins. I'm the treasurer of the Disabled Veterans Rest Camp. The Disabled Veterans Rest Camp is 69 acres with 29 acres that are developed. We have, at the present time, we have 107 sites that can be used for the veterans and the veterans coming home. As part of the reintegration program that the senator talked about, the Veterans Rest Camp has offered up to a 50% discount for any soldier returning, depending on rank. The lower ranks are 50%. Get up a little higher, you make a little more money, we're down to 40%, and then 30%. And then the officers, we give them 10. Hopefully I didn't insult any of the officers around here, but we figured that they can pay for it a little more better than some of the E1s and E2s. Right now, the DVRC has approximately 8,500 visitors a year. We have programs such as Memorial Day, Flag Retirement Day, 4th of July, Many of the veterans organizations use it for their picnics, and we have many guests that come up and visit the camp. I believe it was like 4 years ago we had a person staying in one of our cabins, and we found out that he was in Hanoi Hilton for 6 years. So consequently, we gave him the cabin. He served his time. The reintegration of the troops, we have 3,000 Minnesota National Guard troops coming back. But when you could take into consideration that possibly a family of three, you're talking about 9,000 people. You're talking about the mother-in-laws and father-in-laws and mothers and fathers, and the number grows up into the 12,000. And then you talk about the workplace people, becomes a lot greater. An example of some of the things that the camp does or did, we had a Marine up there that had post-traumatic stress disorder so bad that every time he heard a helicopter fly from home and field down here, he would go into his camper. By the end of the year, he would sit outside and with somebody, but he'd watch the helicopter. But, I mean, those are the things that we like to point at as a progress and a winner. It's hard to judge, but it's very rewarding when you can help somebody. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may introduce now Gary Kriesel, who is the chair of the Washington County Board and also on the Veterans Camp Board and a retired veteran himself.
Welcome to committee. State your name for the record.
My name is Gary Kriesel. I am currently serving as chairman of the Washington County Board of Commissioners, also a member of the Veterans Rest Camp Board, and a Navy veteran. Anyone who has had the opportunity, the wonderful opportunity, to sit in on a presentation made by Minnesota National Guard Deputy Chaplain John Morris, has heard firsthand from him, as he has served a tour of duty over in Iraq, the difficulty in reintegrating our troops that are coming home, our men and women. And the challenge a lot of times is there's a couple components to it. It's hard for them to turn off the adrenaline. They're still pumped up full of adrenaline when they get back here. And the second part is they now have two families. They left the family over at Iraq, and they have their current family that they're living with at home here. And what's important is that these veterans that will be returning have what this camp offers to the current vets that use it, the camaraderie that only veterans can share with each other. And it is critically important to their families. Their families serve just as honorably as the soldiers, the young men and women. This is truly about helping. When our troops return, many of them will come back with disabilities, and our current veterans camp can offer great camaraderie, but unfortunately, it's not real handicap friendly right now, and that's the intent of the PUD. What this funding would allow is to accelerate that. I think it's, it would be a wonderful thing if we could accomplish that for these returning vets. I don't have a lot more to say, Senator Saltzman, and thank you very much for bringing this bill forward. And Veteran Don Driggins have pretty much said it all, but I just appreciate the honor of being here, and I sincerely appreciate the service that you all provide to our nation. Thank you.
Senator Saltzman, I don't know who to ask this question, but I'll ask it to you, and maybe you can help me. Who owns the camp?
I will ask Mr. Kriesel, since he's on the Veterans Camp Board, to answer that.
The Veterans Camp Board currently has the oversight of the camp. I will ask my county commissioner. It's a private nonprofit corporation, Mr. Chair.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, so I'm just looking at the bill here, and this doesn't look like anything unusual to me. I mean, you know, we've seen requests like this in the past, but it's $1 million, and Washington County is going to be the fiscal agent for this money so that this project goes forward. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, that is the way the bill is written. Washington County has expressed no interest in being that entity. I mean, that entity could be any responsible government unit. The express interest of the Veterans Board is that this bill go through with no strings attached and that the veterans themselves retain ownership of it. That's our desire.
And Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, I understand that. We definitely want to keep the control in the hands of the veterans. You know, I'd like to come over there and spend a couple days if towards the end of session might need it. I don't see a problem with this at all. At all. I mean, we've done this before. We use, we use one entity of local government or another to be the fiscal agent for projects like this. This is not unusual. So, I wish you guys well, and you're doing a hell of a job. Thanks.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I have some other people to testify because I think that you've raised an important point about the camp is owned by the board, but it is surrounded by this beautiful new regional park that is in the process of being developed. And that is why Washington County is here and has really assisted the camp with doing some of the technical work to look at the improvements. One of the pieces with this is, as we talked with the county commissioners, was that the camp itself is large but small, but how to provide access to the rest of the Big Marine camp. We talked about the fact of developing accessible trails so that disabled veterans can, it's not just an oasis, but are they able to use the other amenities of the camp. So that is being discussed as well. At this time, I have Don Tyson, who is the county engineer from Washington County, and then following him, I have two other people coming from the building trades. This whole project is not just about an appropriation from the state. As we've kind of gotten excited about this project in the past month, as we've seen opportunities, the building trades have been tremendous in coming forward and expanding on what they were looking at was a very, a project that might take 10 years of how could the building trades be volunteers to help build some of these improvements. On Tuesday morning, I had a breakfast with the CEO of Anderson Windows in Bayport, and part of our discussion was about this particular topic, and Anderson is very interested in donating windows as products as well as funding. So it's really a community investment in our veterans and their families.
Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Don Tyson, Washington County Engineer. It is a great pleasure to be here today to talk about this project. There's a couple handouts being passed around to the committee. As Senator Saltzman talked about, the Veterans Rest Camp is wrapped around by the Washington County Regional Park that we're under development, and this map shows that. This map shows the park plans, which is really going to be a jewel in the regional system, and you'll see in here then where the Veterans Camp fits in there, right there along Big Marine Lake. This regional park is 1,850 acres, as you heard Don Driggin say earlier. The Veterans Rest Camp is 69 acres, and so really this is a chance to develop two premier facilities that can work in tandem and work jointly, and as Senator Saltzman said, let the vets also enjoy the amenities of our regional park. In 2005, the legislature passed a bill that really defined our partnership for the long term with the Veterans Rest Camp, and it's really been quite a success since then. We worked in 2006 with the Veterans Rest Camp to develop a planned unit development. This is this book. And the other handout you have is a copy from that book. And this really shows the plan unit development and the vision that you've heard people talk about today already of what we want to do with this $1 million investment. Some of the details, our new lodge building that would provide a gathering space for 150 people, meeting rooms, offices, a kitchen, a modern canteen, and offices for the organization. There'd be three outdoor pavilions for the Veterans of Foreign War, the American Legion, and disabled American veterans. As Commissioner Kriesel talked about, one of the things we want to try to provide are accessible camping facilities. So we'd be building 14 new modern duplex modern cabins, 16 new single modern cabins, and improving some tent sites that are out there. These cabins are very important. Disabled veterans, it's much more difficult to camp in a tent. We also are looking at new boat slips, so there's improved access on the lake out there, 32 new boat slips, a new fishing dock, swim beach improvements. Then even for the health and welfare of the vets there, improvements of the well and a new septic system. So environmentally, it's also a great place for them to be. So those are just some of the real specific capital improvements that would be done with this $1 million and really help restore this to the premier facility it was when it was founded in 1926.
Senator Kinrobe, do you have questions?
Thank you, Senator Vickerman. And thank you, Senator Saltzman, for bringing this project to us, and thank you for gentlemen who are here testifying today. This seems to me to be a model proposal for how the state and the communities should be welcoming our veterans back home. And we've all talked about the tough situation they're facing, our active duty folks and our reservists overseas right now, and when they come home. You know, one of the lessons we learned, I think, during the Vietnam era is that we don't want to ignore our veterans anymore. And we want to make the state a welcoming and safe place for them to come home. And we're dealing with some local health care issues for veterans. And now Senator Saltzman is bringing us an opportunity to show our gratitude to the veterans, whether they're disabled or not, and their family members. And as I counted here, we have the state, nonprofits, we have county government, veterans groups, local businesses, and community members coming out of the woodwork to put together this proposal. And I just want to thank you very much for bringing this opportunity to us.
Senator Saltzman, do you have a couple more? Or?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. We were talking about the building trades. I would like to ask Carrie Melander and Tom Rigger to come forward. And then to kind of close is John Call, representing Washington County, in case there are any other questions regarding the relationship between the county and the veterans camp.
Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman, my name is Harry Melander. I'm the Executive Secretary of the St. Paul Building Trades Council. I live at 716 Park Avenue in the great city of Mount Amite. I am a Washington County resident. Just wanted to take a couple of minutes and just say anecdotally why I'm here. I've been connected with the park for quite some time. I actually chaired the county commission, the planning commission at Washington County when the regional park movement actually started some 10 to 12 years ago. I am the son of a soldier. My father-in-law was a career officer in the military. My brother-in-law unfortunately didn't make it back from Vietnam. And I'm a proud father of a United States Naval Academy graduate who is in the Marines now, preparing to be deployed to Iraq at any day. So I'm a benefactor of proud military people, and this is just really our way to give back. Tom Rieger with the Cement Mason Finishers will also tell you our commitment, but we just wanted to let you know that that our organization and its affiliates are committed to this process. We have somewhat of a 5 to 10 year plan on doing volunteer work up there, in-kind donations, whether it be through our junior level workers or apprentices. And just really want the committee to move this thing forward. We think it's a wonderful thing, not only for soldiers, but soldiers' families, and really would appreciate continued movement of this bill forward so that we can get something going in the great camp that this and the services that it provides to our veterans. Thank you.
Sir.
My name is Tom Rieger. I live in Otsego, Minnesota. I am the apprenticeship coordinator for the Minnesota, North Dakota, Northwestern, Wisconsin Cement Masons, Local 633. I heard about the camp originally. I read an article in the Minneapolis paper, September 26, 2006. And Mr. Don Driggins, who spoke earlier, was the spokesman in the article. And they talked about the need and what they have to have at the camp. And it's in disarray and they're broke. I took that kind of upon myself, and I've spearheaded this through the building trades. And at this point, as of noon today, I have a firm commitment from seven different building trades unions to volunteer labor with apprentices and journey-level workers. I've got several contractors that have committed to help with material and equipment that we may need to complete this project. I've got several suppliers that have offered either deep discounts on material or donations, and I'm still reaching out for more. I personally am never served in the military. My dad was a World War II Marine at Pearl Harbor. I believe in what we need to show a debt of gratitude to these vets that served us, so we have what we have here today. Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, and I'm sorry I didn't catch your name, sir.
Tom Rieger.
Mr. Rieger, you need electricians?
Yes.
We'll get you some electricians.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You have another witness.
Mr. Call.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Call. I represent Washington County. Because this is a complex and new concept, I just want to, and because the development of this has been delicate at times, I just want to state for the record that Washington County is not going to go forward with this if at any point the Vets Camp Board it becomes uncomfortable with any provision of it. I just want to state that for the record, that this has to be a joint enterprise which has the total confidence of the Vets Camp Board.
Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, can I make an amendment to the bill here?
Pardon?
Can I make an amendment to the bill?
I would be happy to listen to that sure. amendment, Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Saltzman, here's what I'm thinking. I think we get you on your way quicker if you had $1 million of cash instead of having to, quite frankly, mess around with doing bonds and stuff. So, and I know where I can get you $1 million. There's a bridge that's not going to get built, and there's $1 million laying around of general fund money. So, Mr. Chairman, what I would do is on line 1.6, delete the words bond proceeds and insert general so that it reads $1 million is appropriated from the general fund to the commissioner. And then we can strike section 2 and we can have council fix section 3 so that it matches the rest. Mr. Chairman, we can lay it on the table and I can work with you and make sure we get the $1 million cash. And then when the gavel comes down at the end of the session, you got $1 million cash, and we don't have to monkey around anymore.
Thank
you,
Senator
Murphy.
And I'll
get you some electricians, too.
Absolutely.
Well, Senator Murphy has been working with council. There are certain restrictions that go with bonding.
We wouldn't have. Mr. Chairman, the restriction we were there was some concern about using bond proceeds if this wasn't public land. It has to be, you know, when you're using bond money, there are certain restrictions that don't apply to general fund, that it has to be to acquire and better public land than buildings or other public improvements. And if it was to land that was owned by the board, it wouldn't be available. You couldn't use bond proceeds for it. But by opening it up to general fund, those restrictions would not apply that I was discussing with the chairman earlier.
Yeah, Mr.
Senator Murphy, amendment. Any further discussion? Senator Laurie?
I'm just questioning. It sounds like Washington County was doing this as the public entity to run the bonding through. I mean, maybe we want to clean it up even further. and make the grant directly to the Disabled Veterans Rest Camp. I don't know, just a suggestion to throw on the table as well. I don't, if they're doing a great job and bringing folks in, and Washington County didn't sound like they,
cared one way or the other.
Cared that it'd be run through them. If we want to get this thing done, and we know the vets, are standing up, taking care of their own.
Mr. Chair, if I might just ask Mr. Driggins from the Vets Camp to respond to that, because I don't know if there would be a reason to go through Washington County, if I might just...
An amendment, but I'm going to call for a vote pretty quick.
Mr. Chairman, Don Driggins, treasurer of the Disabled Veterans Rest Camp. At present time, I am kept pretty well under the gun as far as these people, the other 16 board members or 15 board members, checking the records and coming out with the balance sheets and the profit and losses and how much we're spending here and how much we're spending there, to the point where I can tell you how many candy bars we sold last year, and they sometimes want to know. So I think that the vets camp could manage the money, but I think at this time what I would like to do is maybe talk to the county or whatever and see what their feelings are also, because right now we have a very good working relationship with the county, and I really hate to step on their toes or let them have an input into it. So I don't know if you've got anybody else to talk right now, but I would like to talk with couple people from the county and see what their feelings are.
Senator Laura, you didn't offer that, did you?
No, I did not offer that as an amendment. I offered it as an idea to discuss it. I'd like it to work as well as it can to get this work done. If that's going to complicate matters.
Senator Murphy's amendment, because that's what's before us now.
And
Senator Murphy.
And Mr. Chairman, And thank you, Mr. Dragons, for that comment. I appreciate it. And in light of that, we could go ahead and do the bill according to the amendment that I offered, which would turn it to cash and leave the language in the bill the way that it is. And then we can talk again in the next week or two, because this isn't going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple weeks to work with. We can take care of what we need to do on line 7 and 8 to make sure that the fiscal agent is the right place, and then, Mr. Chairman, we can fix it. I mean, that's going to take 1 minute, I believe, right, Mr. Knopf?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Senator Murphy, we can do it in a minute.
There we go.
Senator Hand, did you have a question on amendment?
Well, Mr. Chairman, just 1 minute. That's it. Just a clarification, and I appreciate that. Comment that Senator Laurie made. The concern I would have is just that when we make an appropriation for an amount and we grant that to some body, I think there needs to be some way to make sure that the funds are accounted for and that the money is used in the way that it was specified to be used. And I'm certainly not suggesting that the Veterans Rest Camp is not able to do that, but my initial reaction would be one of caution to do that. And I don't know if Senator Murphy was talking about after we approve the bill to change how we designate the funds, whether we do it directly to the camp or the Washington County. But at this point, I would argue that with the county, we have the structure in place that if there is any issues that arise, there's some way to get at that in a way that would be maybe not quite as intrusive into the operation of the camp, but rather than dealing directly with the camp itself. So just a comment. I guess I have no problem or no one way or the other about whether it's bonded or directly appropriated, but just I think we need to make sure we have the right structure and how the money is accounted for. So that would be my only comment.
Senator Engelbretson. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question would be just this, and it may have been already talked about, but if the county is going to be the fiscal agent, is there going to be any dollars that they will be taking to administer this kind of a grant? I mean, is the county going to do it? Okay. That's kind
of no.
Thank you.
Under Murphy amendments. Senator Murphy? Under Murphy amendment. Any more discussion? Follows?
Could I make one,
Senator
Mr.
Good?
Chairman?
Yes, you can.
Could we also have in there a provision, a report back provision, to see what the...
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gimsey, that's what Senator Hahn and I just talked about, and I'll make this commitment to you as I did to Senator Hahn. I'll work with these folks and the senator, and we'll come up with a good fiscal way to manage this, and then we've done it in the past where we've asked people to come back the following year and just give us a little report on where they're at and, you know, how the money got spent, and these guys all know what they're doing, and I trust them. I think this is a hell of a good project, and we can get her all taken care of, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On the Murphy Amendment, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So adopted. Now, members, we have a little correction here to do yet.
Mr. Chairman, I just one issue is this goes to the Commissioner of Administration. That's not an agency that's funded in this division. It's Commissioner Administration is in the State Government Division, and the other issue is that this is kind of like at some of the local grants that go through the Department of Energy Employment and Economic Development DEED, and so I wasn't sure that if it makes sense that this be funded in another division, but if it's funded in this division, you may want to think of another agency than the Department of Administration to provide to be the fiscal agent for the state. Because that's not an account that's kept in this budget division.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. Knopf, would the Department of Veterans Affairs be a better fit?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, if they're willing to do it.
I'm sure they would be.
Do you want to make that as an amendment, Senator Murphy?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Let's say the Commissioner of Department of Veterans Affairs.
Strike the administration and
right.
And Mr. Chairman, that would just be strike delete administration and insert Veterans Affairs.
And then Senate Council yet another.
No, that's it.
Is that okay? We don't need.
No, no, that's just a.
Okay. Okay. Now I think we should probably vote on that first. Senator Murphy moves that we strike the administration and put Veterans Affairs. Any further discussion on that issue? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So adopted. You have any more? I have some people that want to speak against the bill, so I want to be sure that you have your...
I'm done, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Just step aside. And those that are opposed to the bill, come to the table. I need your name and...
I'm Michael Gerster. First of all, I want to say that I am not opposed to $1 million for the Veterans Rest Camp. Sure. Absolutely no way. What I have been opposed to, and some of it's been being cured right now, what I was opposed to was the method that the funds were being delivered, you know, to the camp due to the fact that bonding issues like this would put Washington County into ownership of the camp. And that was my concern. The veterans were not aware that the ones that I have talked to on the board were not aware of the legalities, and I wasn't aware until about an hour ago that with a bonding issue, It has to go. It has to be used by a governmental entity. And the only way to do that would be to turn the camp over to them and do a lease management agreement back with them. And that's the absolute last thing that the veterans want to do since we've owned the camp, since veterans have owned the camp since 1926. I fought for the camp 2 years ago. I met with Senator Vickerman a couple of times, and he thought enough of our bill last time. He didn't even have to hear it in the Veterans Committee. He heard it in local government, and he told me, if any changes are in there, you just let me know. And we didn't have to change a thing. We had 100% vote on the floor in both the House and the Senate. So everybody is for the camp. I am for the camp, for the veterans. I just didn't like the means that it was being put to us. That's all. That was my only opposition. And I thank Senator Murphy for coming through, and Senator Hamm for looking at it. And I thank Senator Saltzman for bringing the whole thing forward. So thank you very much.
Mr. Berkster, I need to apologize to you because I looked at my notes and it said you were opposed. You're not opposed. You wanted to look at a different way to fund it. I think that's what I should have said.
The only way to get on there was to be in opposition. I was in opposition to the bill as it originally stood.
Okay.
And right now, we talked before the committee meeting, and we were moving in the direction that I was concerned about. And I will not stand in opposition as long as it continues on like this.
Anybody else in the audience for? You're more than welcome to come up, Senator. State your name for the record.
Ray Vandeveer, Senator for District 52. I see that you've improved the bill substantially. I was opposing the bill as a bonding bill because we have spent many, many hours. I think if you recall the extent that we went to keep the camp from being taken over by the county and to keep it autonomous. And when we learned of the bonding proposal and that meant that the camp would have to be taken over by the county in order to receive the money, we drafted legislation that would make it a grant and announced that we were opposing the bill, Representative Dean and myself. We just became aware of the bill a few days ago. So at that point now, we have new legislation that basically does what you are doing now, because it was a very hard fight over a long number of years to get the camp so that it was autonomous. So I hope that this legislation, if this is the bill that goes forward, will not stray in any way from the fact that the veterans that run the camp now will continue to run it. And that would be my primary concern.
So. Senator Vandeveer, I'll assure you that I've took a great interest in this camp. I've been around here. I've probably been involved in this camp more than I knew you. Because it's been going on and on and on. I think we're finally getting someplace with Senator Murphy's amendment, something that I can certainly live with, and I believe the opposition out there is okay with now.
I think they are, Mr. Chair. Unfortunately, our press release already went out, but
Thank you.
Thank you for.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would now. Are you going to hold this bill in your committee then,
Senator Murphy? I'm going to hold. I'm going to lay this bill for possible inclusion in ours because we change. There's not going to be no bonding. Wouldn't be a bonding this year anyway if we did figure out a way to do it. Because
right.
This way, maybe we can find some general fund money to.
Oh, I think we've got a little bit of cash laying around.
I got to tell everybody. I think we can find it. I can assure everybody, Senator Murphy. So.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in that case, I would move that Senate File 824 as amended.
Murphy? If you don't object,
excuse me, Mr. Chair,
like
if I may just comment on the last on Senator Vandiver's comments. I am surprised by his testimony because I have not been contacted by him regarding his concerns. I'm very deeply concerned or, you know, saddened that a press release has gone out against this bill, and I offered him the opportunity to be a co-author on the bill yesterday. So I just want to note that, and he said he would think about it. So if he would like to be a co-author on this new and improved version, I would certainly like to offer that to him. But I am saddened by the fact that a press release has gone out against this, what feels like it's not just about money. It's about an initiative that has been pulled together for this, and money is leveraging that. I just wanted to comment on that. Thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Senator Saltman is a new senator. I'll have to tell you, there's already five names on the bill, so somebody's going to step off, and I'm not going to.
And to that point, Senator Vickerman, Senator Betzold was very gracious in being willing to take his name off the bill.
Okay. Senator?
Mr. Chair, not wanting to get into a tit for tat, but at least you're not Senator Pogemiller. Bill was actually introduced. It is a facility that is in the district I represent that we had worked with quite a while, and the bill was filled up without any knowledge even on my part or any of the representatives in the district that it was being introduced, or that it was even out there. So I would say that I did learn of it 3 days ago and inadvertently. Also, so the issue with having a lot of knowledge about it, Senator Saltzman, isn't the case. No. But not to get into an argument, as far as we knew, we had a bill that that was out there that we had no ability to, deal with that would, we found out earlier today, require that the county take the land. And the problem was there was a lot of, when the bill was here last time, a lot of attempts to alter it and a lot of black helicopters and things like that. So we were concerned that something was afoot this time, and so we ordered our own bill drafted, and that is the situation, Senator Saltzman. Had we known about the bill, had you discussed it with us, then this wouldn't have happened.
Mr. Chairman, my dad always used to tell me, if you're digging yourself a hole, put the shovel down. Senator, you should put the shovel down. I'll renew my motion, Senate File 821, as amended, be recommended to pass and laid on the table.
Laid on the table for possible inclusion.
For possible inclusion, yes, sir.
Any further discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much.
Members, that's all we have for today, but if you look at the calendar, the bill that I'm going to do in two bills a day.
Still working.
The man.
Not the man, but I'm working.
I can't help
Monday, it's going in, whether it's just me or you.
We are adjourned.
So I don't know.